This is Margaret Gray welcoming you to a new week here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I have a feeling some of that deathcore screeching is going to... Oh, God damn it.
What did I tell you?
Well, Margaret, you knew this song.
No, I did not know this song. I wanted to do the introduction, and then all of a sudden, this screeching suburban methamphetamine addicted... Would you shut that thing?
Stop bitching, man. It's Amity Affliction.
Anyway, welcome to the program, The Phil Henry Show. You wanted to introduce the show.
I introduce the show every single morning. I don't know why I have to deal with this screeching. This screeching, satanic, worshiping. God, I hate it so.
Well, I think it's garbage, too. But it's garbage that I can luxuriate in. Because when I hear pure, fetid garbage like this, I realize that there's still something to fight against. Still something to fight, to oppose. Jesus, am I tired.
How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing good, Missouri. What about me?
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing fine.
All right, so anyway, welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There's Amity Affliction, Don't Lean on Me, and that begins our program for today. We get a lot of comments, especially from some of our older listeners. I have to tell you that, I shouldn't say a lot of comments. We don't get that many negative comments, but the negative comments we get about our music is so angry and hateful and pissed off and, you know, this and that. And, you know, this guy over the weekend was hitting me up on Facebook about how wrong I was about Anthony Cumia. And, oh, yeah, and by the way, why do you have to play all that jungle music? And, you know, I looked at this guy. He was some Georgia hillbilly with kind of that meathead face, you know.
Yeah, what do you look like?
He had that kicked-in face, you know, like somebody... He's probably taken a bottle off his face a few times, you know. Or maybe something off his face.
Yeah, probably being a ball sack.
Not a ball sack. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's not going to... Will that bruise the face?
You know what? I don't know.
Well, Phil, you brought it up. So will a man's ball sack...
Never mind, all right? So the people that are talking about... The music they don't dig, you know, and I don't know what to tell you other than the fact that I can't stand it any longer playing the same goddamn classic rock and the same goddamn tired stuff, you know. What do you want me to say? Am I supposed to sit and be locked in the past with all of the rest of these fossils? I realize I'm getting older. There's nothing wrong with that, but I want my life. I still want some blood pumping through my veins, you know, and I still want to be curious about life, and I still want to see things and learn things and travel places and go and do and see, right? I don't want to sit in a garage with some other old creep, downing Viagra, drinking my Coors Light, playing my Viva Viagra songs, and just digging on the fact that all of a sudden now, after all those years... hating Jimi Hendrix because he was black. Now all of a sudden, well, I think I really like this music. I'll start playing it in my garage.
Well, you're getting into some of that Anthony Cumia stuff.
No, I'm not. I'm not getting into any of that. I was actually talking before the show, and I think it might bear some repeating. And David G. Hall can come on and help us with this. David is, of course, our backstage pass. What was I saying? What do I mean backstage pass?
Dave, what do you mean got backstage pass?
Now, I don't think you should mention David in the same breath with backstage pass.
Well, why not?
Well, it sounds a little...
Sounds what?
It sounds homoerotic.
Oh, would you stop?
Phil, all right, I'm going to stop.
What are you talking about, this guy?
Backstage pass, David G. Hall sells the time for the podcast, period. Not necessarily the backstage pass.
Yeah, I understand that, but what's that got to do with homoerotic?
Well, she's talking about the butt. Oh, Jesus.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, she's talking about butt, the butt entry.
Okay, I get it.
Jesus, what are you going to yell at me for?
I got to yell at you guys every morning. The only way I can get this thing going is if I yell at you guys, okay?
Well, you speak for yourself, Phil.
What does that mean, speak for myself?
Dude, speak for yourself. The only person you gotta yell at.
No, is yourself.
Huh?
What are you guys talking about? He's talking about... First of all...
No, I'll explain, all right? Every morning I gotta yell at you guys to get your shit together so that we can have a show. I'm not talking... What do you mean, speak for yourself? I'm not yelling at myself. I'm yelling at you guys. David G. Hall is the guy that runs the podcast enterprise, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and so we would bring him on to talk about these different things. And some of them have to do, you know, with the radio reality and the audio reality out there.
Well, you were talking about how Opie and Anthony, what is the next move? And I think we all want to know that. I'm an entertainment writer. I have been sculpting my column for today, which will be released later on, either on the Margaret Gray fan page, which you can find.
All right, fine, Margaret. Thank you.
God, yeah, you gotta give a plug and everything.
But can I ask you something? Were you ever treated for lockjaw?
What does that mean?
Were you going, you sound like you had tetanus at one time.
But when you go too fast, you go, you know, just slow it down.
She sounds like she's going to give a big plug.
Yeah, she's plugging that column.
I'll plug my column.
You can plug the column, but not right now, okay? So what you are saying, though, as an entertainment writer, you are looking to do a piece on the Opie and Anthony situation.
Exactly.
All right. So I was, you know, talking before the show started about that, and I was talking about, okay, what's the next move for these chaps? Now, there's a very interesting question. Nobody in, you know, I should say in the non-professional world has considered, and I wouldn't expect them to consider it, and that is, what does happen to Opie and Anthony? Are they going to go forward? They can still go forward as a team, I believe, because what I think has happened here is that in terminating Anthony, they've terminated the show.
Well, that's what it is. They terminated Anthony, but it's the, oh, I see, the Opie and Anthony.
Yeah, John, I can't. It's the both of them.
Right. It's a show, you know, called Opie and Anthony. Without Anthony, you've removed a major element of that show. Now, is that show still in force? Is the Opie and Anthony show still an entity, per se? Probably doesn't matter what the title of it is, but they've hired a certain, they've signed under contract a production entity called the Opie and Anthony show. I don't know whether or not those guys produce their own show or whether the producing of that show is left to Sirius XM, but they have a deal with the company, and so when you terminate one of the guys, you've effectively ended that show. Now he said, Opie tweeted,
Phil, why are you saying Opie? The man's name.
I know that. It's a tough. I don't know. I'm going too fast.
Yeah, talking about Opie, you know, it sounds like opening because of the firing. You know,
that was pretty good, Joe.
Yeah, that's very funny, I guess.
Well, give me a break, will you, Henry? You get your cuties off.
Well, I'm getting my cuties off now, and
would you please not say getting your cuties off, because it sounds like you've got a bunch of Barbie dolls left.
Would you please let me finish?
Yeah, Miss Gray, let him finish.
Shut your mouth.
Let him finish.
Shut your mouth.
Let it.
Get off him, Margaret.
Step in my way. Don't talk to me.
You gotta let him finish.
Hey, watch it, will you? Just let me finish what I'm saying, okay?
God damn, man.
Well, I'm telling you, bud, I'm
Margaret, you gotta slow it down. Slow it way down. Further down.
I'm at my rope's... Well, now I'm not at my rope's end.
Yeah, because you just let that thing... You let the wave wash over you.
Yes, it was a tsunami of hate, and it's gone now.
Hatred of me?
Will you shut up? A tsunami of hate.
I let the wave of hate wash over me. Let the wave of hate wash up. Don't say it. Let the wave...
Margaret, I gotta keep going here.
Sorry.
That was very pretty, though, by the way.
No, Margaret, very nice. What's that called?
Let the wave of hate wash over me.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Miss Gray.
Thank you.
All right. So, there's that. Now, Opie tweeted on his Twitter account, yes, I'm devastated. Yes, I'm meeting with SiriusXM Tuesday. That's what he said. Now, here is the perspective on all that. And I'm guessing, but this is a good, these are a series of good professional guesses based upon my experience in the biz. Number one, in terminating Anthony, they've terminated the show. Now, I have to ask a question here, and I think it's a very good question. Did they inform Opie before they terminated Anthony? The answer to that question should be yes. I don't know what the real answer is. I don't know how professional they are over there at SiriusXM, given the fact that they don't even pay, like, most of the talent that works for them. And I'm being very serious. They do not pay salaries there. You get a show at SiriusXM in return for being able to promote whatever it is you want to promote. Okay, so that's how we're doing business now, folks. That's where the radio business is today. satellite. They don't even pay your ass. I mean, that's how pathetic it is. You know, that's like giving a guy a part in a movie and you get to have your name in the credits, so that promotes whatever next movie you're doing. But no, we don't pay for this movie. All right, so however that may work, Sirius XM, if they have any professionalism, they would have informed Opie before they terminated Anthony. Why? Because that guy is, that's half the show. You don't kill the show without talking to the principals. You don't call that guy up later and say, oh, hi, how you doing, Opie? This is Sirius XM. We just fired Anthony. Thought we'd let you know after the fact. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I'd come out of my freaking shorts, man. I'd be running naked down the streets of New York on my way to the Sirius XM office with a butcher knife.
Yay!
Thank you.
Oh, my God, Phil, you're kidding, right?
No, but I'm saying I'd be extremely irate. The fuck are you guys talking about? You terminate a guy and you don't even tell me. I'm one half of the show. So I believe they told him. Now, some of the pea brains out there may think, wow, Opie knew and he didn't say anything. Look, let me just explain something to you, okay? He's not going to keep Anthony from being fired. They say to him, Opie, we have to call Anthony. We got to fire him. Why? Because of this, 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 and this. All right, well, what are you going to do? There's nothing he can do. They've paid him the professional courtesy, the contractual obligation probably of telling him. And they go and they fire Anthony. Now, I don't know if that happened, but I'm expecting and suspecting it had to have happened because you can't, like I say, kill a guy's show and not let him know that it's happening. So now he's got the show, it's killed. Now, there's one of two things that I think Sirius XM will suggest. One is that the show move forward. I would say to him, if it was me, I would say, look, you can move this show forward as Opie Radio, because that's the name of his Twitter feed. You move it forward as Opie Radio. You bring in a series of guest people. It's going to be primarily you, but you're bringing in cats to sit in. I think you got to vent the whole thing, man. I think you got to talk about it. I think you got to, you know, you're living your life on the radio. If you want to bring on a permanent co-host, you can, or it can continue to be just Opie Radio with all of the facets that make his Twitter feed interesting, his videos and his commentary, and then, of course, all the other aspects of the Opie and Anthony show, which were the guests, the comics, the bits, and so forth. You can do that. The next thing that Sirius XM is bound to say to him, possibly, is that, Opie, we want your show to move forward as the Opie and Harry show or something. They will impose a co-host upon him. That's a very low percentage play. I don't see them doing that successfully. But if you've got a lot, it depends on how much they have invested in the show. And if you got a lot invested in the show, that may be something you do.
Well, what do you mean a lot invested in the show? You know what I mean? What's that supposed to mean? In other words, what?
Excuse me, General. It means they're making a lot of money on that show and they don't want it to go away and they want to control it.
I would say yes. I would say that they're selling a lot of advertising. The show has a lot of value. And they want to make sure they maintain that value. And as a, if they're traditional broadcasters at Sirius XM, which they are, don't make any mistake about it. They may be using a kind of a new technology, but they're still radio suits. They will impose someone on him. They will say, here's how the show's going to go. Like it or leave it. It would be a bad play. It would be a low percentage play. I suspect Opie would say, take it, stick it back up your asses. I'm not going to do it. Nonetheless, they might do that. The third option, and did I say that there was one of two?
Well, what are you looking at me for?
Because I thought maybe you'd remember.
Yes, you did, and now you're going under the third option, which I think people should be aware of that.
Yeah, Miss Gary.
Okay, well, I said one of two, now I'm a third option.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please be aware...
All right, Margaret, we've said it already. I got to take a break now, and we'll be back. We got David G. Hall coming up here in just a moment.
Well, as long as people know that you did initially say you would, there's one of two options, and you're going under the third... Well, what are you looking at me for, Phil, like I'm something that just turned up at your doorstep with a sign around my neck that says, please feed me. My parents dropped me off at the end of the street. They don't want me anymore. And, oh, yeah, I have scabs. God damn.
All right, Margaret. Jesus.
Well, that's how I feel.
All of that, huh?
Yes, all of that.
All right, Wow. All right, so we're going to, yes, this is my third option, folks. I'm awfully sorry. I didn't tell you that it would be my second or whatever the hell. I didn't tell you it would be the, I told you that it was only going to be two, and now it's just, you know, whatever. Here's Bob Bacon with traffic. God.
Phil, downtown, we've got the traffic up around town, and there's Marilyn Hickey's on TV right now. But you know, we've got a traffic accident over here that completely blew up. I'm Bob Bacon of the traffic.
Margaret Gray here for all of your friends at Sherburgers. You know, Sherburgers makes the greatest flooring available to mortal man on this planet. It's wood, it's tile, it's beautiful linoleum. Some of it comes in plastic, some of it is in cloth, some of it is just a veneer, something that you can just paint on and then wipe off. Wouldn't that be great to say, come on over to the house this weekend, we have new hardwood floors, and all it is brown paint. Your people will buy it. They'll buy it, I guarantee it, at Sherburgers Flooring. The reason why it's called Sherburgers, by the way, is because it's covering up something a lot more seditious, I would say. It's covering up a
porn store.
I'm only kidding. Sherburgers in the mall.
Wow.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back with more on the philhenryshow.com with Phil Henry Show. I got your Sherburger.
What is your problem?
I don't want any more commercials like that where you're covering it up for a...
It's an adult book. Sherburger, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it sounds like Sherburger, Mr. Henry.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I just got that. That's...
Now, Mr. Henry, you know something? I can give you the heads up on that. I knew about Sherburger a long way back.
Y'all know it goes, nigga. Whatever. Uh-oh, it's hip-hop. Look out. Jeezy with Jay-Z and... Seen It All.
If it's on the flow, nigga, it's the flow money. If you brought it out the blow, when you got it from the blow, then that's why the fuck they call it shit blow money.
This meathead, this hillbilly I was talking to this weekend, I don't know this guy... I don't know who this guy is. He's just this guy that came out of nowhere, and he's the father of another person that follows me on Facebook. And this dumbass hillbilly starts... He had a problem with hip-hop. He had a problem with metal. You know, it's like you don't like hip-hop because it's too black, but you don't like metal because it's not Christian. You know, with all due respect, sir, take your Atlanta, Georgia, Christian, meathead, weightlifting, up-the-ass, closeted homosexual life, and just, you know, have fun with it, man. Go out in the woods and play with it. And quit bothering me. Some of these guys, I swear to God, they are in the closet. They are closet homosexuals. In other words, they get a thrill. They almost, it's like they want to masturbate.
Phil, must you talk about this?
All right, never mind. But I think they get a big thrill when I respond to them. You know, I say, like, you know, even if I say to them, you know what, for 5 cents, man, I'd put a boot right through your face, and they get like a hard-on from that.
Jesus Christ, Henry.
Well, I'm telling you, I mean, this is the world that I'm living in now. It's insane. Ever since this whole damn Opie and Anthony thing, man. All right. So, David G. Hall is joining us here on the air as we discuss we're discussing here, David, as you know, what are the options for Opie and Anthony. You being a longtime broadcaster, one of the things that I said was that they may keep the show going as Opie Radio or something like that. They may keep the show going as Opie and a new host. What are the other options?
Well, I mean, the other options are that they go to the digital platform, that they leave radio entirely and they go to what you're doing, what a lot of guys are doing, which is the digital show. It's a download show. You can sell advertising. You can go directly to your subscribers like you do. Or you can stick it up with us. You know, I don't know, Phil. I mean, I had it better when we were a radio show because I was your boss. Now that we are doing the digital show, you are my boss, and I don't like it. And that's the thing that most radio suits don't like, the fact that in the digital world, the talent is the boss, and the suits have to go and do exactly as we're told. So, you know, yeah, I know that you don't understand that.
Well, what is wrong with that, David?
What is wrong with that?
Well, I know what's wrong with that.
Well, let me explain. What's wrong with that is for years and years and years, as a radio suit, I was in charge and I got to hire and fire people. Now with the digital platform, I got to do what he tells me to do.
Well, who are you talking about, Phil?
Yeah, I'm talking about Phil.
Right.
Yeah, see right there, right. You know, and I can't give him any crap or he'll fire me.
I'm not going to fire you. I'm not going to fire you for giving me crap.
Yeah, but you're sitting there telling me all this stuff all the time. Hey, just do it, David. What do you, you know, I used to be able to tell you.
Well, the world's changed. What do you want from me? The world has changed. And I'll tell you something. It's your fault.
Here we go. I knew it would come around to that.
It is your fault. It's the radio suit's fault for letting the business dwindle to the point where it did. So that we had to have other options, we had to make other moves, and you guys suddenly lost all the power. You lost everything, man. You lost the big companies, you lost the stations, you lost your positioning with the American people in terms of where they get their entertainment and information. You lost it all. So let's get back to Opie and Anthony, all right?
Yeah, why don't you just pull my pants down, fondle me, pull my pants back up, tie my belt, and say, okay, now let's get back to Opie and Anthony. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Well, David, I don't think that was the case.
Well, okay, Mark, that's fine for you. You're a female standing there watching it, leaning against the car hood, watching as I, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm pulled from a car and my pants are pulled down.
Will you knock that stuff off, please?
Well, that's how it feels.
You know something, Hall? You got a real rich imagination.
Do I really? That's exactly what happened to every radio executive in America. 1 a.m., the car goes down a dirt road.
Shut up, man.
I'm telling you.
All right, so the two options for Opie and Anthony are that it continues as Opie Radio. I personally think that if he's got still good relations with SiriusXM and they're making a fairly decent amount of money, I would choose, if I were him, and I would recommend that option to him. I think Opie needs to continue on, and I think he can continue on as a solo act. He's a very opinionated guy. He's a funny guy. He's funny, you know. Just himself, man, offering opinions and offering observations. He has a creative life that goes beyond radio. He does a lot of the videos, you know.
Yeah, what do you mean videos? How's he going
to
do that?
You know, he could go to a video platform like we have here. We have Phil TV, and he could be doing those videos and showing those. I don't know, man, but it's just a thought. But I would definitely stay with SiriusXM. If, however, he's just too. If the bridges have been burned there, if SiriusXM is going to come down extra hard on him, one of the things about SiriusXM, man, is they're not out of the woods financially, are they?
No, they're not out of the woods financially. As a matter of fact, you know as well as I do because you just leased a new car and they had the Sirius option, right?
Yes, they did.
Right, and they're bothering you and calling you morning, noon, and night. They did the same thing. They're calling me up. Would you like to get SiriusXM? Would you like? I got SiriusXM because I have to, because I got to know what's going on. You didn't get SiriusXM because you think everything's beneath you. You think you're way up here and everything's way down there.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, it is. Why don't you have SiriusXM?
Because the only shows on that network that I would listen to would be Opie and Anthony and Howard, and I don't know what else they got. But I.
Well, what about like they got the what do they got, bud?
Yeah, they got like the stock car racing and everything.
Whatever. Who cares about the stock car? I'm not going to listen to that on the radio. You know, I'm not going to listen to that on the radio. Maybe I would. Maybe I wouldn't. I'll watch it on TV.
Well, what if you're driving around?
Yeah, Phil. If you're driving, what if the Indy 500 is on and you're driving around?
Maybe I would. Maybe I would. Maybe I'd listen to it. But, I mean, the fact is, it's not something that I'm going to pay a subscription fee for to get the Indy 500 on radio. I'm going to get what I can get. The only thing I'm going to pay a subscription fee for is to get something that I can't get anywhere else. Now, you know, so I don't have SiriusXM. But here's the thing. They have a business that is still sort of finding its way out of, what, $500 million in debt?
Yeah, it was like $400 million. Now they have upped their subscriptions. They also sell advertising. They've got an extremely aggressive telemarketing campaign. It all amounts to the cheapening of the product. This was a satellite product, was supposed to be something that would be a subscription-based product, and you would get all kinds of programming you couldn't get anywhere else, and it would be very courageous programming. It would be brash programming. It would be new, modern programming, and so forth. What they've done is they've turned it into a television channel without the pictures. And they took, you know, they had Martha, what the hell is it, broad? Excuse my saying broad.
You know, I really resent that.
I'm sorry, they had Martha, who they have?
Martha Stewart.
Yeah, I was going to say Martha Ray.
She's dead, and okay, that's great.
All right, sorry, they had Martha Stewart, they had Oprah Anthony, right?
Oprah Anthony?
You're Opie and Anthony.
No, I know Opie and Anthony. Well, then who was Oprah? It was Oprah Anthony.
Oprah Winfrey.
All right, Oprah, take it easy, will you, Phil?
Oprah Anthony.
Well, that's who it sounds like. So they had that, but beyond that, they don't have anything. If you're paying a subscription fee to SiriusXM right now for $14-15 a month, I mean, that's what they're getting, you are getting ripped off. There's no question you're getting ripped off. You may think you're getting all of this programming, but really all you're getting are these live shows. You don't have access to those archives, I don't think. You don't have access to those. I think everything's like an extra. Maybe Howard Stern, but I don't think that you have access to the Howard Stern archives through SiriusXM. So you're really getting hosed. And now here comes Oprah Anthony.
Well, you're knocking up with the Oprah Anthony.
I'm sorry, and Anthony. And now Opie has a decision to make. Does he stay with him or not?
Well, so what's the decision? This kid, Opie Anthony?
Opie is his name. His name's Greg Hughes. Greg Opie Hughes.
The Anthony's the guy that got fired?
Yeah, Anthony got fired.
Well, if Phil said this kid, then he stays with the Sirius XM, or he said he goes out to the digital. Now, what about this digital?
I think that that's a very good play for him, too. He could keep his subscribers. I think Opie would be far smarter going to a digital platform, keeping all of his bringing all of his subscribers with him. And I believe, unlike a lot of other models, I think that when you leave a Sirius XM with a certain number of subscribers, they're going to go with you. They're not going to stay. They're going to go with you. And so he has them. He runs his own business. There's no middleman. There's no Jack Paul to answer to, like you don't like Phil. All the guys that I used to know, all of the executives, all the bigwigs, we're all taking it up to, you know, never mind.
Well, look at David. I'm sorry the times have changed.
Mr. Hall, you're worried about fact there ain't no executive anymore.
Excuse me. In other words, the power that you had as a radio executive, David, you are upset that you no longer have that. I understand that, but is it something that is necessary for...
All right, Margaret, you're getting sing-songy.
Sorry. Is it something that's necessary?
It's necessary for me. It's necessary for me to feel empowered. It's necessary for me to feel entitled. It's necessary for me to feel good that I can go someplace and fire someone. Now I can't. Now I work for them.
Would you go to work for Opie?
What?
Would you go to work for Opie and Anthony? I mean, Opie.
When I go to work for Opie and Anthony, I mean Opie.
What's that? Opie, if he had his own show.
Yeah, I'd go to work for him. Sure, I'd go to work for him. Boy, that's something I'm still trying to get used to. But yeah, I guess I would. I'd try to lay down some ground rules where I could maybe be the boss and tell him what to do, but I doubt it wouldn't be any more successful with him than it was with you, right?
Right, probably. But here's the other question. Should Opie and Anthony get back together and go to that digital platform? In other words, forget about all of... When you talk about no bosses, then you're saying, essentially, we can do any goddamn thing we want, pardon my French, ladies and gentlemen, and that includes reconstituting the show and going to a digital platform.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, you could. You could definitely do that. The Opie and Anthony show could continue on as a digital show. They would be the bosses. And Anthony could go on the air and show what a good guy he is and talk about his feelings, and you know, this could be a long running story that has a really happy ending. Maybe he changes his feelings about things, but the audience follows this and they follow it for a subscription price. I think it's a good idea.
That's not a bad idea. So long as if it turns into a show where It's Opie and Anthony, and Anthony maintains these feelings he has about race, and they become even more hard-edged, and he becomes even more entrenched, and it turns into kind of a hateful thing. I don't think that's going to help. On the other hand, if they're able to somehow put it behind them, but I don't think they'll be able to put it behind them, I think they have to address it.
Well, they can address it, but I mean, the point is the guy's going to have to...
He's going to have to look like he's had a change of heart and that he likes the black, you know.
Well, not the black, that he now has softening feelings. He is more intelligent and understands the human experience.
Yeah, Margaret, see?
No, the human experience. See, people don't understand the human experience. I do. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay! Yeah!
Take it easy, bud.
Thank you, bud.
You're welcome.
All right, well, whatever, but I think that...
What do you mean, whatever? I don't understand that.
Whatever. I don't, you know, that's fine. You know, he can just, you know, if he does evolve into a better man, if that's what we're asking of Anthony, then that can happen, and the show can benefit from that and become quite a revolutionary experience for everybody concerned, but... I don't know that that's going to happen, and you can't plan something like that.
Well, that's the thing. It's got to be sort of organic. But if you're following the further adventures of Opie and Anthony, and they just had this horrible thing happen, and they lost their gig at SiriusXM, whatever, who cares? Because if they go on a digital platform, they can get the subscription dollars. The show is intact as Opie and Anthony. They talk honestly because they're broadcasters. They're communicators, and they understand... You know, they understand what it takes to hold an audience, and I don't think they would reasonably believe that they can continue to do a radio show where one of the hosts has hatred or enmity toward other races. It's not a modern American radio show. It's not a show that is reaching out to all of its listeners. And I don't think those guys, I got to be honest with you, in my deep down, I don't think that's what those guys want. I don't think that's what Anthony wants. And I don't know him, but he may have certain feelings that he has to work through, and it might be interesting to hear him do that on the show, so long as, you know, you're not going to be able to predict, you know?
Well, what if he does that and it comes out that he still hates black people?
Well, you know, you're going to have a problem. I think then the show is just going to lose it's going to lose momentum. It's going to lose money. Nobody wants to listen to a show like that.
Well, that's the whole thing, unless you can make it funny. Unless...
How do you make that funny?
How do you make that funny?
Well, you say, you know, Anthony, hi, it's the Opie Anthony Show. Anthony, what'd you say? Well, there is a chimpanzee swinging down Broadway, and he's talking about it. See?
No, that's not funny at all.
What makes that funny?
Wait, but say it again, General, because I think I almost laughed.
The other day, I saw Al Sharpton, and he was going, and he's swinging down Broadway.
That's fantastic.
All right, man, get ready for your ass kicking.
Wait a minute, go!
Hey, guys. All right, we're going to take a break here. Thank you, David.
Yeah, whatever, man. Let me off this radio show.
We'll be right back, taking a break. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com has BSPs available, our backstage pass. So you get a subscription to the show. You get a subscription to the show, that means you listen to the show. You listen to the show, you listen to the archives, thousands and thousands of hours. Here's how you do it, Opie and Anthony. This is what we're doing. We have the daily podcast. We have our archives, over 10,000 hours of archives. We have a video cast. We now have a live performance arm that I'm sticking my arm out as I say live performance arm. You know, where we're going to be doing our second show, our second sold-out show at the Hollywood Improv. We also have our sex surrogate arm where I will father your children. I'm kidding. And leave a
beautiful corpse. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But anyway, it's philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's only $9.99 a month, and you get this and so much more, is all I can tell you. You get our daily show and so much more, plus our pre-show, which is our BSP-only show. And on that show, man, we lay it down, you know.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show will return to the El Pacifico right after this.
Hey, buddy, Bud Dickman. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, I'd sure like to have a nice, sweet, cold drink right about now? Burton's Lemonade can be had at your local lemonade store.
There's Robert Letterman for Burton Lemonade. I knew Bud would butcher that up because Bud's too busy making himself a Burton Lemonade.
That's right. Go down to the store, the lemonade store.
It ain't even a lemonade store, man. You go to any store and get Burton Lemonade. Go down to the grocery store. Go down to the liquor store. Go down to 7-Eleven, any place, and get Burton Lemonade.
Then bring it on home and put it into a pitcher and pour in what she...
See, Bud is so confused and so thirsty, man, he can't even give this stuff right. He can't lay it out right. Burton Lemonade. Go on down to the store and get some Burton Lemonade today.
Get some and drink it.
Yeah, Bud's mind is drying up, man. His mind is rotting out between his ears. Like money,
drugs. Don't let your mind rot out between your ears. Get Burton's Lemonade, available now in the handy six-pack.
There's Lil Wayne, and he's obviously upset. He's agitated about something.
That's called Crazy. It's a single from a forthcoming LP, I am sure. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So that's the... You know, I don't mean to take too much time with this, you know.
Well, it is. It's very interesting, I think. You know, very fascinating how the radio world works, you know.
Well, I don't think it's all that fascinating. First of all, you guys are weird, man.
Well, there's no question about that. I'm not going to, you know, deny that. We're weird, all right. See, radio is a very interesting business in that you can, just like acting, I think, in any performance art, or any entertainment art, anybody can really become successful if you have a talent for what is required, you know, if you're a personality. One of the things that I don't particularly like about radio is that, especially in the recent years, management has tended to just go out into the world and find whoever is really weird. Weird, extreme, outspoken, maybe even crazy. And throw them on the air because something's going to happen. And then when that thing happens, they're hoping that this will be the entree to lots and lots of money. And a lot of times that does happen. But then a lot of times things happen where, you know, crazy stuff is said. Now, we can, folks, you know, we can track this. And it's a very interesting thing to track.
Well, it seems like it has happened more and more.
Yeah, remember when Don Imus goes on a nappy-headed hoe thing?
Yeah, that was nappy-headed hoe, and then Rush Limbaugh, too.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh said, what did he say?
Well, Limbaugh said that whole thing about the guy, Donnie and Marie. You remember that?
Donovan McNabb?
All right, Phil, big wow. So you know the name of the guy.
Donovan McNabb, Donnie and Marie.
I don't know who they are either. I thought that was a quarterback.
Well, no, you didn't think it was a quarterback because you said, I don't know who they are either.
Yeah, General.
All right, I lied.
So you do know who Donnie and Marie are?
Yes, I do, and I try to make it like, fuck this.
Yeah, Don, we'll go get a U-Woo.
I don't want any more. Are you drinking the U-Woos?
Get out of here and go figure your U-Woo problems out someplace else.
Jesus, what an asshole.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there was Rush Limbaugh's Donovan McNabb's comment saying that the reason why the press supported him was because he was black. Now, is that true? You know, a lot of people said, you know, the unfair aspect to that was that maybe Rush was saying something that was true. It so happens that Donovan McNabb had led the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl. I think he's the last quarterback to do that. So I don't you know, that to me, that's pretty silly. If you know something about football, and you know anything about quarterbacks or football teams, you see a guy take a football. It's one thing to say, hey, this guy's really great, and maybe I'm saying that because he's black. It's another thing then to turn around and watch that very guy win the NFC Championship as the quarterback of that team. Now, all kinds of qualifiers can be put on it, but good quarterbacks are good quarterbacks. You know, and there have been a lot of black quarterbacks in recent years in the National Football League. So be that as it may, Rush said something that people thought was racially charged as opposed to something that was...
As opposed to it being an organic fact that there was no evidence, you know?
Yeah, there's no evidence to support it.
There was no evidence to support it, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't think there was evidence to support that at the time. I was one of those dummies, though, that bought into it because it was that very year the NFC was won by the Eagles with Donovan McNabb at quarterback. And so it made everyone look kind of stupid, including Rush. Then there was the Don Imus thing, and Don Imus just wasn't thinking.
Hey, I wanted to do this stuff. Hold on. This guy, now he said I don't even know what nappy-headed hoe means.
I don't want to explain it, okay, General?
What a dick. Come on, let's go.
Yeah. Hey, what are you calling me a dick for, okay?
I came and I wanted to find him.
They come in just long enough to ask me what his nappy-headed mean. When I say I don't want it, I get called a dick and then they go out.
Mr. Emmett, you know what you just said? You went to Philly, Lolo.
Yeah, Phil, it was a real, it was what I call it was a real spaghetti mouth thing, what you just did.
What?
You went, they come in long enough, and they turn around, and I don't need, you know, you need more sleep, you need more rest, you need, I don't know what you need.
Yeah, probably, are you on a medication?
Never mind what medication I'm on, okay? All right, so thank you very, very much for that, guys. Fantastic. The TSA has ruled that battery-dead cell phones may not be on flights. Dig this. If your cell phone is out of power the next time you fly to the United States from overseas, you might have to leave it behind. The Transportation Security Administration announced Sunday that on certain overseas flights to the United States, it will not permit powerless devices, cell phones, and computers that cannot be turned on. Airport security officers may ask passengers to power on devices during security screening, which could mean slower security lines for travelers. Passengers could also be taken out of line for questioning. TSA already sometimes asks travelers to turn on laptops, presumably to determine if they are real rather than filled with explosives. It is unclear how TSA plans to deal with passengers without charge. I know I'm going really fast, but you dig what that is.
I want in on this, okay?
Yeah, go ahead, sit down. God.
Now listen, you know, when I sit, I still haven't gotten my cup. Is this coffee or U-Woo? Don't say U-Woo.
Uh-oh, I think it's U-Woo.
Damn your ass to hell and back.
Hey, guys, you can't keep getting up and going out.
What?
Can't keep getting up and going out.
That's what she said.
That's a good one, Dickman.
All right.
What did you say about that's what she said? You said he couldn't say that anymore.
Margaret, I'll handle it. I'll handle it. Me, I. Phil Henry.
Oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen, you should have seen that. He's going, yee-yee-yee. Like you're King freaking King Coon. Not King Coon.
What do you mean King Coon?
I'm sorry, I misspoke. King Kong.
Mr. Henry, I think she needs to be chastised for that.
Margaret, why did you say King Coon?
How dare you? I am not racist. I said King Kong. I misspoke.
Yeah, but why did you misspeak? You said that on purpose because you were looking at me.
You were looking directly at Robert when you said King Coon.
You know something? I'm going to get up and walk out of here and then file a class action lawsuit against everyone that ever lived. How about that? Anyone that ever lived or ever...
All right, take it easy.
I'm not joking around.
So the two of you were joking?
Yes.
How dare you? For that, Bud, would you come in here and cut a fart? And I only ask him to do that on special occasions.
Yes, ma'am. If you do that, Bud, I'll kick your ass. No, ma'am.
So you're even denying me that little bit of retribution?
Yes, I am. And I'm asking you now to be the adult woman that you are.
Fine.
Bud, would you come in here and cut a fart?
That's exactly right. I find that to be...
All right. Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk about the TSA ruling. Now, this is an interesting thing. What they're gonna have people do is turn on cell phones, turn on laptop computers to make sure that they are not battery-capable or battery-friendly, or that they're not, you know, the batteries don't work. Is that essentially what it is, Jay?
Well, my understanding, you know, reading a ruling, and I had just had read the ruling this morning, was that the Citizens Auxiliary Police and the information that we received is that the CAP got from a TSA that you will have to be turn on the battery, and if it doesn't come on and the battery didn't turn on, the battery don't work. And that means that, of course, your computer is not going to work or your cell phone is not going to work. So the TSA at that time will say, your cell phone is not going to work. I'm sorry. Hold on, Phil. All right, thank you.
What was that?
Yeah, what happened?
I have a little bit of a Bell's palsy condition. This one's not Bell's palsy, but it's something that those of us who come from Baltimore or who swallow our L's, we get a thing called L's palsy, not Bell's palsy, and so I have to go through, it's an exercise that I have to be assisted with Sub-Commander Gleason. He puts his finger between my lips. Go ahead, do it. And that loosens it up.
I see.
Are you kidding?
No, sir, I'm not kidding. Why would I kid? What I'm trying to do is get through this report this morning without another, attack of L's palsy. Now, as I was saying, the TSA allows for you to come through the line with your That's better.
If this is what this interview is going to be like, I think we're going to have to...
What the hell? I was in the kitchen and I heard this. It sounds like some real jive gibberish. And,
General Shaw, is Jay Sanos, how are you this morning, sir?
Well, Jay, how are you? What the hell's going on?
I have a little bit of L's palsy. And so to help me out with it.
Oh, I see. All right.
Do you know what this condition is?
Yeah, we had a few guys in there when I was in Nam come down with this. It's something that guys from Baltimore and Western Pennsylvania, the heat does it. And oftentimes mosquito bites, any kind of a mosquito bite, doesn't have to be infectious. Humidity, proximity to lakes, this kind of a thing will cause it to come on. We had guys that came down with it, and they came up with what was called the Scribner application. The Scribner application is simply putting your finger between the lips of the guy that's suffering the attack and have him go boo like that. So here, Phil, I'll do it to you.
Don't do it to me.
Well,
all right.
No, that's all, Phil.
All right, go ahead.
So, yes, so the TSA said that they will be checking computers and checking cell phones to see if the battery works. If the battery does not work, then at that time, the TSA will tell the people getting on the plane, your battery doesn't work, your phone's not going to work on the other side, and your computer's not going to work on the other side. I mean, so what's that about? And people will say, what are you going to say when you find out that your battery doesn't work? You're going to say what?
I'm going to say I'll charge it on the other end.
Yeah, and as a TSA worker, then I say, well, what do you mean you're going to charge it on the other end? Everybody knows that when you get off a plane, the first thing everybody does is turn on a computer or they turn on a cell phone.
Yeah, but they also have charging stations at the airports.
What? Are you trying to tell me...
What are we talking about here?
Are you trying to tell me, Phil, that you're on your way to Paris, you get off the plane, you want to go to the hotel, you want to have a champagne, and maybe, you know, take your wife down to have some of the snails and the different things they serve, and you're, instead of doing that, you're going to go to a charging station and hang around in the airport and charge. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, what's the point? What if a guy wants to? What are you talking about?
Yes, Dave, we're talking about the security aspect of a powerless, battery-operated laptop or cell phone.
Yes, exactly. And the security of that is if someone is mentally unfit or mentally perturbed or mentally angled. And when we say mentally angled, most people mentally, if you're healthy, you're going straight ahead. But if you angle it and your mind is angled off, that's when you got to worry. And one of the things that tells us that someone is mentally angled is if they take a cell phone or a computer on an airplane ride and the battery doesn't work. And you're going on a long airplane ride. And the person's going to go, yeah. And your battery doesn't work. And you're going to go at the airport there. Have you ever been to Charles de Gaulle Airport, Mr. Henry? It's Orly Airport. You've been at Orly Airport?
Yes, I've been to them. What about it?
Wow. You know.
Well, look, Santos, we're trying to figure out what you're saying. You said you had L's palsy. We were dealing with that.
I do, and I'm doing pretty good with it. Right now, Mr. Henry, he's making it complicated. And what I'm trying to do is tell you that if someone flies across America, across the Atlantic Ocean, all the way from America to Paris, and they have a cell phone battery that's dead, they have a laptop battery that's dead, that guy's got a brain that angled out. It just angled off. It's like hitting a golf shot. It's like hitting a golf shot and hooked into a teeny kid area, you know.
All right. So you're saying that the mental condition of an individual that would travel with a battery that is dead is what is called brain angling or hooking the tee shot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mentally, what you've done is you've hooked your tee shot right into an area where little tiny kids are playing with sailboats. Now, think about that, Mr. Henry.
Is this some kind of a security term?
I've never heard that, but I heard you talk about it, Jay.
Wait, hold on for a minute. You're talking about someone who's mentally deranged.
Not mentally deranged, no.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about, General, if you listen to me, I'm talking about Tom Dam Boy Scout Jamboree. Hold on.
Will you knock that jazz off, man, or I'll come over there and tear your lips off. Now, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about, General, about a mind that is angled.
He's not talking about someone that is mentally deranged. He's talking about a guy that's off. All right, so the guy's off. What about it?
Well, that would absolutely present a threat to the aircraft.
You got a guy whose mind is a hook shot to where teeny little children are playing with a sailboat?
What? What are you talking about?
He's talking, Phil.
Oh, hold on for a minute. Let's take a break. I just turned myself down.
Yeah, that's the best idea you've had.
Let's take a break. We'll be back on the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We're talking here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about the TSA ruling that says you must surrender all cell phones and laptops if the battery is dead.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico.
Dr. Wayne Barlow here. If you suffer from L's palsy, as you've just heard Jay Santos demonstrate, we have the greatest L's palsy clinic in America. We're located in Moore Park, California, with offices in Calabasas. Bring in that ailing family member with L's palsy. We use the Scribner application. Yes, it sounds completely mental. It sounds almost silly. It sounds as if the individual doing that is a speed freak, has problems with hallucinogenics, is schizophrenic. And yet what you're dealing with is a doctor who has studied for 8, maybe 9, maybe 10 months the L's palsy and Scribner application. Here is Dr. Wartner. He only speaks in that language, and he has cured countless thousands. Yes, it's the L's Palsy Clinic, Moore Park, Calabasas, and now in Nugenton.
Oh, thank God you have an office in Nugenton, Doctor.
Yes, we've just opened it.
Oh, thank God.
Where's Nugenton? Please don't ask that question. You make me look like I'm incompetent and I don't know what I'm buying airtime for. Don't worry about where Nugenton is. Just worry about where you are. Shit, okay. Shit. Margaret, you want to do the...
Yes, I would like to do the honors here. My throat isn't warmed up.
Holy Christ, you sound like a whole hillside of them.
How dare you?
A hillside of what?
Three guesses and the first two don't count. It's got four legs and it looks, it's a lot smarter than it looks.
What? A cat?
Fuck it.
All right. I'm assuming you mean cow.
Yeah, well, there you go. Give the man a cigar.
All right. Thank you. There's Oz and the Oz Boys, Black Sabbath. And that one's called Paranoid. And why not? Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. We also take some of your phone calls here at 855-500-7445 as we continue to talk here about the TSA and a new ruling that essentially says you will have to surrender any cell phone or laptop that has a dead battery. Jay is saying that is because anyone that travels with a laptop or a cell phone with a dead battery is mentally angled or has some kind of the hook shot of the brain into an area.
You know, see, this bull crap about a hook shot going into where little tiny kids are playing with a sailboat, what the hell does that mean?
All I'm trying to say here, Gerald, is that this... Imagine if you were on a tee at a golf area, okay, is what I'm talking about, and you hit a golf shot and it hooked all of a sudden, right, and it was a screaming line, it was a screamer, right into a residential section where a little teeny kid was pushing a sailboat onto a pond.
You mean a sailboat onto a pond?
Yeah, I'm sorry, a sailboat onto a pond. Would you call that mentally angled?
What do you mean mentally angled? If a guy hit a golf shot...
Are you saying that a man's brain is like a guy hitting a... The brain?
The brain, yeah, the brain goes where that golf shot goes.
Well, then just say...
The brain goes where the golf shot goes? I don't think so.
Oh, the brain goes where the golf shot goes. Hold on, no, seriously, Phil.
Margaret.
No, seriously, I like that. Jay, listen. Oh, the brain goes where the golf shot goes. The brain goes where the golf shot goes. Brain goes where the golf shot goes. Whoops, there's a dead kid. The ball went through the...
All right.
Well, Phil, I'm a mother, you know.
I know that, but we don't need songs.
Well, Jim, look at Phil. I was going to call you General. Where's the General?
I'm right here, Santos.
All right, General and Phil, or General Phil, or Phil General. I'm talking to both of you.
How about Phil and the General?
Well, that sounds gay.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like a Saturday morning cartoon comic or something, you know.
What does?
Phil and the General. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Go ahead, Jay.
What I'm saying is that the mental condition of anyone carrying a laptop or cell phone with a burned out or a dead battery... The brain angled out. It went. It hooked left and angled right into a teeny kid. So what do you want me to say? What do you call that?
The guy's mentally unsound. Is that work?
Is that work? Get a load of him.
Phil, the grammar, my God.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I usually expect a lot more.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Sorry.
Thank you.
You know what I hate? I despise that.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not gonna... can only put up with so much.
Phil, you're starting to go a little too fast. You went... I'm only... Now, Jay Sanders... Hold on. You know I'm your friend, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Jay was talking about some very vital information. He put it a very bad way. I'll give you that. I'll grant you all of that. All right?
Okay.
He put it in a bad way, and he also... now I forget.
He put it in a bad way. Then he also talked about the angle. Oh, then he had the L's palsy.
Yeah, he's all going... Gad, what are you talking about, man? How do you know? You're trying to tell me the guy that has some kind of condition? Here, let me do it to you.
Look, man.
You don't put your finger in people's mouths, bud.
Man, I'll rip that finger off.
Yeah. All I was trying to do was demonstrate the L's palsy.
Nobody puts their finger in anybody's mouth, okay?
thank you, because if anyone does that to me, I will. I'll tear the finger off, and I'll use it to flip you off with, you who thus lost your finger. How about that?
Well, that was very floral, Margaret.
Yay!
Thank you.
You'll tear the finger off and then use that finger to flip off the person.
Yes.
But the finger that you usually point or is this finger and the one...
All right, Phil, then I tell you what I'll do. I won't tear off the one that you were pointing with or using it for the Ells palsy. I will tear off the finger that you use the finger for. Then I'll give the finger back to the person that was going to be me. All right?
God, Ms. Gray, that'd be very unfair.
Will you shut up? All of you.
That is very rude.
Well, I just need you guys to clam it up, man, because the more you talk, the further and further out we get.
Wow.
I'll tear off the finger that you use the finger for, not the one that you use the L's palsy. Will you stop doing that?
All right, just wanted to see if it worked.
All right, moving along here on the program this morning, we've got other news. Family of punched woman to sue California police. Did you see this?
Yes, I did see it. I'd like to know the whole story on this thing.
Well, it's very clear. That cop was beating on her.
He was punching her. It looked to me like he was trying to control her, but you know something? Isn't that what a taser is for? Oh.
No, that's not fair.
No, that's what a taser's for, man.
Well, wait a second. Maybe he felt the taser would affect the woman. Boy, this gal here on the Word Network, she's pretty, man, she's extra fine.
Will you forget the Word Network?
Me talk about Joyce Meyer?
Do I look like the kind of guy that goes after the Joker kisser? I know I love Marilyn Hickey, but I love Benny Hinn. Oh, God, it's Benny Hinn.
No, the blonde that's with Benny Hinn, right?
Yeah, look at her. And she's, wow, that's something. She's putting her hands about this far wide, and she's looking at Benny and going, is this about right?
All right, thank you very much. So, family of California woman to sue California police. Now, if you saw this videotape, it was on the YouTube, all that other stuff, man. All that. The other morning, or the other day, I should say, and it was a picture of a California highway patrolman who was just flailing on this woman. I don't know what in blue blazes was going on there. There have been a great many comments made about this, a lot of commentary as to what that was about, trying to get this woman under control and so forth. And what we'll try and do now is we'll get the video cast or the videotape of this for you so you can see it. Those of you who are watching on Phil TV in HD. But the story is the family of a woman who was repeatedly punched in the face and head by a policeman has said they will sue on her behalf. Footage posted on YouTube last week shows California Highway Patrolman officer straddling the woman and hitting her at least 11 times. The CHP says they're investigating and they have suspended the officer. Her family said they would be filing a civil rights lawsuit on her behalf. This according to local Los Angeles station KTLA. What do I get up here, bud?
Put in CHP and hitting woman.
All right, that's what we just did. We'll see if we can find there. In the meantime, civil rights groups say they are set to meet police officials today. Earl Ofori Hutchinson, president of Los Angeles Urban Policy Roundtable, told the Los Angeles Times he wanted to see an independent Justice Department investigation. Officer repeatedly hits black woman after incident in Los Angeles. Raw video. Here it is. And
let's just turn this off here.
And also, I want to let's kill the audio in this thing. Now, we're going to get this on Phil TV in HD so that we have our people who are watching Phil TV so they can see this. Police have said the woman was endangering herself and motorists walking on the shoulder of a busy highway in West Los Angeles. So we have it on screen right now. Violent confrontation. What you're seeing is the police officer holding this woman down and punching her. He has gloves on. And that's the extent of that, right?
There's more to it. They got a long thing.
Well, this is the news report on it. A video of the incident was captured by passing motorist David Diaz, who told the Associated Press the officer arrived as the woman was walking off the highway, but she turned around after the officer shouted something to her. He agitated the situation more than helped it, said Mr. Diaz, who started filming soon after. When the recording starts, the officer is seen trying to detain the barefoot woman, who walks a few steps away from him. But the officer is seen forcing her to the ground, briefly struggling with her, repeatedly punching her. A few moments later, a plainclothes officer enters the picture and helps his colleague put the woman in handcuffs. The video you're seeing right now is the point of view from the motorist. And the motorist slows down to his left, and he's showing this cop. This man's name is David Diaz. Now, this guy Diaz says that he saw the woman. He claims to have seen this situation before he started filming, but he's in his car, and he's coming up on this situation from an on-ramp. So I don't think the guy's being completely honest that he saw all of it. Having said all of that stuff, I continue. When the recording starts, the officer is seen trying to detain the barefooted woman, but the officer is seen forcing her to the ground, briefly struggling with her. The woman is being treated in hospital and undergoing psychiatric evaluation. She's been named as Marlene Pinnock, 51, by local media. On Sunday, Ms. Pinnock's family told reporters she was a loving and happy great-grandmother, and they would be filing a civil rights lawsuit. Caree Harper, a lawyer for the woman's family, refused to say why she was walking the freeway, saying nothing would justify the beating she received. And I'm wondering now if this officer, there's a lot of different, we know, physical altercation ensued as the pedestrian continued to resist arrest, at which point a plainclothes off-duty officer assisted in applying the handcuffs. That's a CHP statement. Okay. So you guys could probably see the rest of this stuff. Here is more of it. As he's coming by, his film continues, and the guy is wailing on her.
Well, it looks pretty obvious to me, Phil. This is police brutality.
Wait a second. You can't say... And who's this guy with the yapping mouth?
That's the guy that filmed it, man.
This guy Diaz, huh? Look at this guy all yap, 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 yap. And what's he doing with that blue vest, anyway?
What do you mean, the blue vest?
That guy's got a baby blue sweater vest, and if anything says weird and suspicious, that does.
All right, let's grow up a little bit.
No. I'm telling you, that guy...
Yeah, the guy's wearing a baby blue sweater vest.
Who cares if he's wearing a baby blue sweater vest? The guy's wearing a baby blue sweater vest, and if anything says suspicious...
All right, Phil. You don't have to repeat it.
Okay. We're going to be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And more commentary on this. As to what happened here with the CHP, Don Berman from Channel 19 News joining us as well to comment. Phil Henry Show.
And that phony baloney puking is the voice of Phil. What do you mean, Phil Henry Show?
That's what you're supposed to do as a radio TV announcer.
You know something, Dickman? One of these days, you'll get the electroshock you so richly deserve.
This is the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. The El Pacifico in... Excuse me, is there something hanging out of my nose?
There is.
Pardon me for a moment.
All right. Volbeat and the Hangman's Body Count. I hope this makes all my white brothers happy. Yeah. Extra added bonus, these guys are from Denmark. Ain't that white? Ain't that white? Through the hangman's tree. Go and call your name. Get out of your bed. All right. Phil Henry Show, and I'm sorry to be a smartass about that.
What is all this stuff, ain't that white?
Yeah, Mr. Henry said a lot of the people are opie and Anthony.
Boy, I tell you, man, maybe this L's palsy stuff is right.
Oh, I see. What are you doing?
I'm giving you the Els palsy test.
Phil, you said people shouldn't do that.
I'll do it because I'm the host of the show. Go ahead, start talking, bud.
I was just going to say, don't be ready to be...
Nah, he's fine. All right.
Yeah, but Opie and Anthony.
Opie and Anthony what, man? Earlier in the show, I was saying that many of the people that were disagreeing with me about, you know, the commentary I had on Friday about Opie and Anthony... also had a problem with the music we play on the show. Too much hip-hop, and the white music we play is too demony. So basically what I'm hearing from are a bunch of white fundamentalist Christian assholes. Excuse my, you know, French, but that's it, you know. And I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to you. You know, this is music I like. And the reason why I like it is because I'm trying to get away from, I don't want to die just now, you know. If you stay locked in the same kind of music and the same kind of thing, have at it, have fun. It's fantastic. I really admire how, you know, forthright you are and sit there at your barbecue and you just sit there and be your dumb fucking white self. That's great. But I want to listen to this kind of music. If you don't like it, then you don't have to listen to the show. It's a very simple thing, but if you think I'm going to change it because you sent me some message on Facebook or some message on Twitter or whatever, it ain't going to happen. You ought to know better than that. You ought to know me better than that by now.
Well, Phil, you're saying that everybody ought to be familiar with the fact that you don't give a damn.
Nobody does. There isn't anybody that does a radio show or a TV show that reads listener mail and then changes things on the basis of that. It never happens. You give people the opportunity to vent. You say, please do. Give us a call. You know, give us a, drop us a line. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. You know, we'll take it into consideration. But you never, ever, ever act on that. Never. You'd be insane to do that. You act on what is the right thing to do based upon how you feel about it. How do you feel about it? What would you like to do? What makes you happy? What makes the show enjoyable? If I had to come in here every day and do things on this show based upon what some asshole writing me a letter from the woods of Georgia thinks, I'd blow my brains out of my skull. Okay? Because it just isn't going to happen. So we play that, and I just play music I like. You think that I've got some affinity toward if I'm anti-white? You know what? Nothing will make me anti-white more than more letters of that kind. I will become, I'll try to change the color of my skin if I can.
Well, Phil, that's insane. That's like black like me, like John Griffin Dunn. Do you recall that, don't you?
I remember the book, yes.
What? What are you talking about?
That was a book that John Griffin Dunn wrote. Called Black Like Me.
That's about the white man that turned into a black man?
Yes, that's right. He was a white man that turned into a black man.
What? How is that possible? And I don't mean to be defensive or anything, but did he eat, like, extra corn pone or something? Hey, I'm just saying.
Watch it, man. Hold on. No, bud, he didn't eat extra corn pone. What he did was he went in and had medical treatments. He actually had his skin treated. He had the pigment changed of his skin. He had sort of... Some kinds of shots like that. He also shaved his head, and he, as close as he could, approximated the look of an African-American man. And then he traveled throughout the South at the height of the Jim Crow era, which was when they had separate lunch counters for black and white. They had separate bathrooms for black and white, separate public accommodations for black and white. They had all kinds of other things. Black people couldn't get home loans, or they were charged extra interest. They were not allowed to live in certain parts of town. I mean, I was just reading something about my hometown of Arcadia, California, where I grew up, had a law in place. And it was in place until some Supreme Court ruling in 19. There was two, one in 48 and one in 65. But in Arcadia, California, my hometown, there was a law that said you could not sell your home to anyone other than a white Protestant.
Oh, you're kidding. This is California?
But not only California, it's suburban Los Angeles.
Well, there you go.
Exactly. I mean, so every city in America was like that. And I was reading Kurt Flood's, not reading, I was watching the documentary on Kurt Flood, the great St. Louis Cardinal that pressed the case for free agency in the 60s. Kurt Flood is one of the unsung, he's one of the forgotten heroes of labor relations in sports, because it was Kurt Flood who initially sued to get rid of what was called the reserve clause, which was that a team could pick up your option for another so many years and essentially hold you as a member of their organization for however long they wanted to, or trade your rights to another team. You had no choice as to which team you were going to. You had no choice as to whether or not you could stay with that team or leave. The only thing you could do would be to quit, go play baseball in Japan, something like that, you know. Anyway, Kurt Flood moved to San Francisco with his wife and kids when he became, I guess, a member of the Giants. Or maybe he wasn't with the Giants. Was he still with the...
Well, I don't know. I know the story. I don't know what teams he played for.
Well, he moved to San Francisco, and the realtor didn't know that he was renting to a black family until after the fact. And this realtor, whoever this scumbag was, I have no idea, put up a fight, tried to keep the Flood family from occupying, and he had to get the highway patrol. He had cops. There were cops there to try to help this family move in. This is America. This is America. This is the America that most of the white people that I know don't ever want to face. They don't ever want to look at it. They want it to just go away. It's all better now. Everything's great. Everybody's equal. Everyone's cool. No hate. No, nothing based on race, you know. And it's all good. And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's like you got an L's pause.
Yeah, okay, bud.
Nah, man, you're doing that yourself.
I can't put my finger in anybody else's lips.
Well, why you say that? Because
get out of there, will you?
I'll kick your ass, man. I swear to God.
Hold on, will you? So this is the thing. So anyway, in my hometown of Arcadia, California, yeah, you couldn't sell to a guy unless the guy was the guy. You know, he had to be the guy.
What do you mean, the guy?
A Protestant white guy. That's what you had to be. All right, now, I don't even know where the hell it is that I... Oh, yeah, this family suing to recoup the dignity. The lady gets beat up there on the side of the road. We got a lot of stuff going on around. If you're truly not racist, you really say you're not racist, you know, and you're not just bullshitting people, and you actually do have a problem with race, and it's all their fault, and they don't get it. You know, by definition, you're a racist because you continually put it off on the other race. You continually say they don't have the problem. They got the problem. I'm fine. Well, you're essentially saying that whole bunch of folks over there that are black, they don't get it, you know. And I'm here to tell you, as a white man, I see all kinds of stupid-ass whites that it just boggles the imagination. Then you get this from the whites. These assholes, and I've run into this. I've run into this from cab drivers. I've run into this from white people who are just out in the world. They'll say, they'll talk to you like you share their opinion. They don't know you from Adam, man. They don't know who you are, what you are. And they'll start bagging on blacks. They'll start using the N-word left and right until you say something. I've said it to more than one cab driver. I said, look, you know, I don't feel that way. At one point, I had a black girlfriend in my life. I said, you know, I got a black girlfriend. You should have heard these stupid bastards change their tune like that. Cab driver, he's in business. I don't know what makes those guys or some of them so stupid. You know, you're driving a cab. Aren't you in business? You got a guy in your cab. He's a white guy, so you assume right away that he's a member of the white man club. So you start talking all this bullshit. Now, there's a lot of white guys that grew up in that environment, and they don't want to betray their other stupid white friends. And so it's all like this white guy club. And they do the same thing if you're on the radio. You know, I got this Facebook message over the weekend from some stupid ass that thought I was a member of his dumbass club. You know, are you kidding me, man? You know, I wouldn't, and I looked at this guy, and I finally figured the guy's problem out. I looked at his pictures. This guy's an alcoholic. Every other picture, this guy is sucking down booze. You got that kisser on him. He looks like he's had, you know, he's been next to a jug all of his life. That's your problem, pal. You quit drinking, you're going to start seeing the world a little bit more clearly. But I just know what I know, and I've been this way my whole life. People don't like it, but they pay me. People pay me to...
Well, people pay you, yes, to be a public, to do the public spoke, to say, but they also pay you to be funny. And you, see, that's where you gotta be funny.
You do have to make it funny, Phil.
Well, how do you want me to make this funny? This Hopi and Anthony thing?
No, but the whole thing about the guy with the jugged out face.
Yeah, that's a white guy.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, yeah, right. So you gotta say something funny about a black guy?
Well, I think it's funnier when you make fun of a white man's puffed out face than a black man. Because generally the black man with a puffed out face has had his face kicked in by a cop, and the white man with a puffed out face has been drinking too much.
Okay. I'll take that.
Well, you're part of that, man. She just said something pro-black.
Oh, boo.
Get out of here.
I'm only kidding.
Right. I don't think that's a very fair statement, Margaret, but and I'm not going to go any further into it than just to say, here we have another situation. And I believe that in every single individual situation, is the truth of that situation. You can't apply anything else to it. You take the evidence that you have. Here's a cop. I got a guy who did this film. He did it from his car. I don't believe him when he says he saw what happened beforehand because he's in his car, he's driving, and the videotape itself commences with the woman on the ground. I don't see anything that happens beforehand. The guy wants me to take his word for it? Fine. He says that the officer escalated the incident. He agitated the situation more than he helped it, said Mr. Diaz. That's a kind of a qualified statement. That's not saying this guy knocked her to the ground and started beating on her. When the recording starts, the officer is seen trying to detain the barefooted woman. Now, she's walking along the road barefoot. That's a dangerous situation. That's also illegal. There's no pedestrian traffic allowed on a freeway. The attorney, by the way, said, we are not going to let this woman be on trial, Ms. Harper told the Los Angeles Times. No, don't let her be on trial, but you have to have the facts of the situation come out. What was the woman doing that prompted the officer to act? And then, did she do anything that prompted the officer to act the way he did? Or did the officer immediately go above and beyond the color of authority? That's a phrase that we remember from the Rodney King thing, right?
What's that mean, the color of authority and everything?
Talk about the color, the color of his authority. He's white, so he has authority.
Yeah.
No, that ain't what it means at all.
The color of authority is the color. There was a song by Donovan. You remember that? Yellow is the color of my true love's hair. You know.
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. That's a song about some folk beatnik. The hell are you talking about,
Margaret? What are you singing about?
What am I? You're saying the color of authority.
Yes.
All right, Donovan's saying yellow is the color of the blue. Oh, you're saying something else.
Yeah, we're talking about the color of authority, as in the officer overstepped his bounds. Under the color of authority, he abused that woman. Did he or did he not? We have to understand what police procedure calls for. If it is police procedure, then we can debate whether that procedure is correct or is incorrect. If it, however, is a certain procedure to do one thing and the officer did something else and the officer did something above and beyond, then we realize the officer is culpable. But we must know the facts. And this in this society that we live in today, we have a habit, man, of taking the facts and wiping with them and throwing them away because there's a really cool piece of video on TMZ. And I don't want to blame Harvey Levin, because I'm sure he's a very nice guy.
Harvey Levin is a wonderful man. Don't you dare say anything bad about him.
I'm not saying anything bad about Harvey Levin. I'm just saying that he's a douchebag. All right.
I beg your pardon.
I'm kidding there, Harvey. All right. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here on this Monday. I'm here to tell you it's all good. Here's Busta Rhymes and Calm Down. Calm the hell down.
That's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, folks. Don't forget, it is the sold-out Phil Henry Show. The World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch, on July the 30th at the Hollywood Improv. You can get a chance for a VIP package if you join Phil during the pre-show and guess whether he's wearing pants or not. And I would like to personally thank him for wearing pants the last 3 mornings, because I can tell you something right now, and I come in and seen him without pants, all bets are off.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Is he wearing pants or not? Tomorrow on the pre-show on Phil TV.
Rhythm classics flip how. Bitches, I'm making them skip with thou. Art, you don't really want to start when I growl. Wow, wow, wow. Let me come and mop up the knock off. When I pop off, I never stop, cause when we do come through, you better lock doors. Cause the wolves wanna eat people, they lock jaws. No need to cook up the coke, you see me.
All right, speaking of fist fights and stuff, what in the
fat fish? You have the Solange Knowles. This is fascinating.
What about it?
Solange Knowles was the... were we going to get Don Berman in here?
Yeah, Don Berman said it'd be on just a minute.
What do you mean he's going to be on in just a minute? Is he here or is he not, bud?
Yeah, Mr. Berman. What? Here's the thing happened. He's on, then he had to go do a news story.
Yeah, I had to go do a news story, then come back.
Well, he was going to be on for that CHP thing.
But I was going to get him on for the other one. But I wonder what he's doing now.
All right. Is he there?
Mr. Berman? Mr. Berman? Yeah, but, yeah.
Okay, Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Don, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well, and I apologize, but we had a late-breaking story. We had a crash down on the 58 that turned into oil spill.
Why do I hear a carnival in the background?
There's no reason. That's not a carnival. That's the newsroom. And I was in the middle.
I seem to remember you're taking your nephew to Disneyland today for his birthday.
No, that is not true. I'm in the newsroom. What do you mean a carnival?
What do you think I'm hearing behind you?
That is a news story about one of the carnivals that got shut down. Jesus.
So, Don, if you're at Disneyland, you're at Disneyland.
All right, I'm at Disneyland. God damn it, I'm taking my nephew. It's his birthday.
Then all you had to do was say so.
Because the Don Martin doesn't know that. Hello. Now I'm on the air telling Don, hey, L. Ron Martin, guess what? I'm here at Disneyland. Fire me. I don't give a sweet.
Boy, I'm always happy to find Don in such a great mood.
Don, please, don't be in such a sour mood. You think that L. Ron Martin's going to fire you?
Yeah, I do. Because that guy is all he can do, man, to drive me ape. Every day with that espresso machine, I had to get out of there. I had to get out of there for one day, and I'd taken my nephew down here to Disneyland. If you want the truth, do you really want the truth?
Yeah.
My nephew isn't with me. I left him at home. I said, I just need a day away with myself, by myself. So I'm standing here in Disneyland by myself. Standing here with a bag of Mickey Mouse goods. I got a Mickey Mouse hat on. I got an all-day sucker. People are looking at me like I'm a pervert.
All right, so you needed to relax.
Hey, look, Don, there's nothing wrong with that.
All right, that's fine, but anytime a single man goes to Disneyland by himself, he looks like some kind of a child, like I'm going to go get a kid, go touch a kid or something like that.
Dude, I mean, going to Disneyland by yourself is a very healthy thing, even if you are a...
Even if I am a what?
No, if you're a guy... I mean, it does, you know, I suppose it looks kind of weird.
Well, I bet you Disneyland's got security following me around. Like, look at this. Here's a single guy in his 40s with a Mickey Mouse hat.
You may not want to attract attention to yourself.
What?
Well, Don, what we're saying is there's nothing wrong with going to Disneyland by yourself and enjoying Disneyland, but you're wearing the mouse hat, and that makes the park security look you up and down.
Well, you know, there are... I went down here to Main Street. I wanted to get some of those Mickey Mouse pins because I want to give them out to my nephews.
Now, what happened to the nephew, by the way?
Nephew got sick. My nephew got some kind of a stomach cramp or some stomach flu or something. So I said to my sister, I go, well, I'm going by myself. And she looked at me. She said, are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. She said, because you know what that's going to look like. I said, guess what? Sue me. And I got in the car before she could say anything else, but I did see her standing there with her hands on her hips looking at me as I drove off. So I'm sure she doesn't approve either. So, Sally, guess what? I'm at Disneyland, so your pervert brother...
Look, Don, I do not think you're pervert. I'm just worried that the...
Well, when I was down here the other end of Disneyland, and one of the female park security people came out and was doing the once-over on me, man, I swear, if she looked at me anymore, I would have thought she had the heist, that she wanted to, you know, climb it. Because she's looking at my shoes, she lingers, and I swear to God she did. She lingered at my crotch.
I don't believe that for a second. I think that's wishful thinking on your part. That's Disneyland security doing their job.
Were you here?
Don.
Were you here? You weren't here. I was here. I watched as her eyeballs lingered over my ball sack. And
Don, I got to hang up. We've had too much going today for you to lose your temper, okay?
All right, I apologize.
I hear any more of that kind of talk, I'm hanging up. Do you understand? We've had too much going on today. The feelings are running high about all kinds of stuff.
All right, I'm sorry, God. So what do you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about the CHP cop thing, but we have Solange Knowles when she attacked Jay-Z in the elevator. Are you familiar with this story or not?
Yes, I'm very familiar. But Solange, you know, she's the sister. Hold on for a minute. I'm wearing a Mickey Mouse hat. Is there a prominent?
I don't know.
Are you security? Yeah, I don't think you're security. You're just some guy?
I think it's very strange. What is you doing?
I'm on the air right now on the Phil Hendry Show. How do you feel about that?
What?
I'm on the air right now on the Phil Hendry Show.
Just leave. Forget about the guy.
No. Hold on. Some guy. This guy's not even security. He's saying, what am I doing here with the mouse hat?
I just wonder what you're doing here with a mouse hat on. You got no kid with you.
Yeah, I got no kids with me. I'm standing here. I'm going to go on a ride by myself. And I'm minding my own business. I'm going to go over and get a cinnamon bun.
Jesus.
Yeah. He walked away.
So the guy was just...
Just some guy.
Well, you Don, be very polite and say thank you. I'm here, and I was going to bring my nephew, but he got sick, so I decided to use the tickets and go myself just to relax. There's nothing wrong with that.
There isn't, Don. It's absolutely, perfectly normal.
All right, well, tell half of these creeps that are walking by me, hey, how you doing? Yeah, it's a hat. It's a mouse hat. Ever seen one? Shit.
Well, look, don't worry about them. Just enjoy yourself. Tell me about Solange Knowles.
All right, Solange Knowles is so far beyond, quote, that thing that happened in the elevator. I'm Don Berman reporting here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The singer brushed off her now infamous scuffle, barely calling it anything, in a new interview in Lucky Magazine. Lucky Magazine, by the way, Phil, is a magazine. I don't know what it's about, but it's a very unfortunate name, magazine, because it sounds like a supermarket. You know, there's a Lucky Supermarket?
Yeah.
It sounds like a magazine that a supermarket puts out, doesn't it? I don't know. So, anyway, what's important is that my family and I are all good, Solange, age 28, said, according to Us Weekly. Wait a minute. It was an interview in Lucky Magazine.
Yeah, and it's in Us Weekly.
Oh, I know what it is. It's one of those African-American magazines that won't release any information to anybody else other than Select, and then Us releases it to the whites. So
you don't know that.
Well, that's what I'm assuming. But we're very racially charged these days, Phil. I'm figuring Lucky Magazine releases it to Us, and then Us gets to tell the whites, and Lucky tells the blacks.
So you don't think that makes sense?
No, that doesn't make sense to me. That sounds asinine, and you're just assuming that.
All right. You know what, Phil? Fuck this.
One of those days.
Yeah, but it's on edge and everything, Mr. Harry.
God, my glasses just flew off again. I apologize, folks, for Don Berman's language and his overall attitude.
Here, let me read this, Phil, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, Margaret.
Solange, or it could be Solange or Solange. I like the name Solange, but I do prefer Solange.
Yeah, it sounds like, oh, Solange, you know?
Well, it does sound anti-gay, it does. But by understanding, it is pronounced Solange.
Well, I do.
They could probably change that legally.
Will you never mind and just give us the story?
So you want her to go through life with so long, gay. See you later, queer.
No, she's not saying that. That's your pronunciation.
It's not my pronunciation, Phil.
Does she pronounce her name that way?
No.
What does she say?
She says it's Solange.
Then that's what we'll call her.
That's what we'll call her?
Jeez, Phil, talk much?
Yeah, talk much?
Yeah, every day.
In any event, what's important is that my family is all good. The statement...
Don't say it that way.
The statement issued by Beyoncé, Jay-Z, and Solange together addressed an apparent elevator fight between Beyoncé's sister and husband caught on tape after the Met Gala in May. As a result of the public release of the elevator security footage, there has been a great deal of speculation. But the most important thing is that our family has worked through it and everything is fine. That's all she said.
Well, you know what? I think what she basically said was, in a very nice way, it's nobody's business. And she's right. It's nobody's business. It was caught on security camera footage. Okay. And so they addressed it to the extent that they needed to address it, which is that everything's fine. There was no threat to the public. It was, you know, we're sorry. And so, but what it was about is nobody's business but our own. And kiss my ass on the county line.
Hey.
All right, General.
Yes, well, I want to remind everybody that the backstage pass, right?
Yeah.
The backstage pass and also the one-man show, which is coming up on the 30th.
Right, and tomorrow morning at 8:30, it is our BSP pre-show, and it is at that time that we will qualify another. We had a qualifier this morning, and it was, God damn it, who was the guy called in? It wasn't Alan Grooms, it was somebody else. It was the guy that called in after Alan Grooms. Off the Trigger Mike. Is that his name, Trigger Mike? I think I'm right. But in any event, we had a qualifier 3 now for our drawing that will be happening at the end of the month for the world-famous Phil Henry show, The World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch, live show at the Improv in Hollywood. So, you know, give us a call tomorrow morning if you are a Backstage Pass member and make sure that you're listening to the pre-show so you can do that. And you can also watch the pre-show is what you got to do to be an active participant. A lot of stuff that's going to be happening here over the coming months. A lot of decisions that we're going to be making concerning the website and concerning the, you know, just stuff that I'll be talking about on the pre-show, but concerning how we deliver the show to you and how we deliver the show to our Backstage Pass members and what is the model that we are going to want to pursue as we go into sort of like the second phase of the Phil Henry Show digital world. We started this in March. We've been doing better than we ever thought we would, and what it's basically told me is that the radio model is really either dying or dead, we've been able to get people to access the show via their smartphone on the mobile, or, you know, you could do it on your desktop. But the important thing to know, as we've said time and again, is that there is no need to have a radio anymore, folks. Your smartphone does it for you. And there's no need to have an affiliate. There's no such thing as radio affiliates. There's no affiliates. If you've got a smartphone, you can find our show anywhere in the world. San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles, Hong Kong, Moscow, China, I don't care. That's where it is. That's where it's going to remain, okay? So you do that through TuneIn, or you can do that through our mobile site, which is our Listen Live feature on our Phil Henry Show website. And it is a mobile site. Catch you guys tomorrow morning at 8:30. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show for Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and General Galen Shaw. Adios. So long. Peace out. Ouch.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on the Sideshow Network.
This is White People Music.